On the last episode of All Things Outdoors, we talked about baiting and feeding bans and why it is illegal in some counties in Wisconsin, including Oneida County. This week, we're going to focus a bit more on the biology of deer. Here with us is Wisconsin DNR wildlife biologist Kurt Rollman. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you for having me.
So, you know, start off, how are deer adapted to winter in the Northwoods?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's the obvious ones. They have the hollow fur for getting through the winter, keeping them insulated, keeping their underfur insulated, thermoregulation. But there's some really cool ones that they have for the winter. So one is kind of their, I guess, your strategy, their strategy, you could say. So just like a lot of species, spring, summer, fall, they're adding fat to their body to get through the winter. And then to pair with that, they actually change their metabolism. So they add the fat spring, summer, fall, they get to the winter and their metabolism changes, so they're burning less fat. So their strategy, I guess you could say, is to coast through the winter on that fat reserve. So they really, what a major part that determines their winter is how fat they are going into, so the three other seasons besides the winter. Of course, a severe winter can make that fat reserve go down a little bit quicker, but the idea is to coast from the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the winter, to spring green up.
So are they really like eating all during the winter? And if they are, like, what is their diet in the winter?
That's a great question. So kind of, I'll answer that kind of twofold. So their diet does switch to woody browse, and that's less nutritious. But as a lot of folks know, they're ruminants, so their microbiome changes with the diet. So spring, summer, fall, they're eating that green vegetation. The bacteria in their gut is adapted to digesting that. Stuff in the winter, harder to digest, less nutritious, but the biome, which you can't change on a day, changes with it and can get at that. But then to pair it, their metabolism changes too. So they're burning less fat, but they're also gaining less fat. So there's actually research out there where deer in the winter fed high protein, high fat, they're not adding much fat because, again, their strategy is to coast on that fat reserve. So they burn less, they add less, but they can eat the woody material in the winter because that's what they're adapted for.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty complex. Somebody figured it out, I guess. So,
So when someone, when humans, you know, provide food for deer, whether that's corn, whether they get access to bird feed, whatever it might be, how does that impact the deer for better or worse?
Yes. So another great question, and I get this a lot. I mean, of course, deer aren't just tipping over in a corn pile. There's nothing quite that visible, and deer can make it with having fed corn. But there are some unintended consequences, and some of them aren't super visible. So one thing I like to think of is just kind of added stress. So again, talking about their strategy of coasting on that fat reserve. So if they have a little extra stress, they might be burning through that fat reserve just a little bit quicker and may not make it to spring green up. And that stress could be fighting with other deer over the concentrated food pile, especially adults and fawns of the year. The fawns might get pushed off a little bit more, and they're more susceptible to the winter. Could be pulling them out of good habitat, such as in a backyard, you're more open to deeper snow exposure to the elements when otherwise they'd be in a cedar thicket and have a little bit more thermal regulation. Or finally, it's the disease concerns, of course, chronic wasting disease, tuberculosis. But those are the big ones. But you think about a replenished food source, you have bacterial, viral stuff that kind of adds up. And now, again, will that kill a deer? No, and may only be sick for 1 to 2 weeks. But that sickness could burn through that fat reserve just a little bit quicker to make a difference. So again, not super visible, but that stress can add up to a deer.
And so I think most people that maybe do feed deer, whether it's legal or not, come from a good place of wanting to help deer. So maybe what are some alternatives people can do that does help deer?
Yep, I 100% agree. People do this from a fact of caring. I mean, deer are a big deal in northern Wisconsin. We're all connected to our natural resources, so I get them trying to help. And some kind of easy things are, well, I shouldn't say easy. The easy thing is dumping corn, but it can be changing some things in your yard, planting native shrubs, planting something that they're, again, more adapted to. Now, in one yard, does that make a huge difference? No, but if a neighborhood does it, and that stuff can be year-round as far as native shrubs, pollinators, birds nesting in it, and then deer get the benefit in the winter. So kind of a holistic thing. And then if you're a larger landowner and you're able, you can cut down a tree, and those branches that are out of reach for a deer then become available to the deer. And for like a 1 to 2 week cold snap, that's perfect. You're not changing their food. You're not changing what they can digest. It's woody material they'd eat otherwise, but it would be just a little bit extra that they have available to them.
Wonderful. Well, Kurt Rollman with Wisconsin DNR Wildlife Biologist, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the time.